to see everybody here this morning. Hope you've had a good week. We have visitors from Amarillo and Lubbock and probably other places as too. And we just want you to know how much we appreciate y'all being here today. Good to see Kim and Peggy both back at the same time. It has been so long since they have been feeling good enough to get out on a regular basis. And so it's just really good to have them back with us. We've certainly had them in our prayers. Galen's getting a little bit better news on his back. He found out that the cause of his back pain, and so they're hopefully going to be able to help him out with that. So grateful to see him and Melinda and Bo back a lot more regularly than they were able to when they were not feeling good. So good to have everybody here, each one of you. It's an honor to have you here, and it's certainly an honor for us to be able to worship God. If you haven't already made plans for the Valentine's party tonight and you think you might be able to come, please consider it. It's very encouraging to see each one. It's always a good time, and it's a great time for fellowship as well. So please consider that if you haven't already. I'm going to talk about one of the great things about Christianity today, and that is goodness. We live our lives for goodness when you think about it, and we get distraught when things are not going well. As a matter of fact, if we are not careful, it just seems like we will surround ourselves with bad news, and we'll always be waiting for impending doom of one nature or another, and we can get consumed with that idea of always having bad news in our lives and not really thinking of the good. When you think about it, the good is what we're here for. The gospel literally means good news. And that's why we're here. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's such a joy to be here. I hope each one of you know how encouraging just your presence is here to come and worship together with fellow believers. It's a good thing that we do when we gather together as part of the good news of Jesus Christ and His plan. Philippians chapter 4 is the text I want to begin with this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over there, and just notice the focus of good. As you're turning to Philippians 4, let me give you a couple definitions of good from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. In the New Testament, the words most frequently translated good are the Greek words agathos and kalos. Agathos denotes good as a quality, either physical or moral. And so there is a difference between the two. Sometimes when we talk about good, we're talking about something that's purely physical. People of the world can have good things in their life, but only from a physical standpoint, not from a spiritual standpoint. And the other, obviously, is the moral or the spiritual. Kalos, the word that's also translated as good, is properly translated as beautiful, pleasing, useful, noble, and worthy in a moral sense. And so those are the way the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia folks translate it. Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary translates good in this way, or defines good in this way. As an adjective, it means pleasant, full measure, kind, and gracious. But as a noun, it primarily means God Himself. And so when Jesus asked the person who called Him good teacher, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." When we use it as a noun, we really are referring to God. And yet we can have good attributes. We just can't have them at the same level as God. It's like we're commanded to be godly, but we're not commanded to be God. And so we see that we are to aspire to goodness, but we will never be on the level of God. Anyway, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Let me ask you this, how different would your life be if you weren't anxious about anything? We spend our lives being anxious about different things. Each one of us, I suppose, maybe one area more than another, but it can really get us down. The solution is to present our request to God. He goes on to say this in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then he says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, the whole passage to me is one that just kind of releases the tensions from our lives when you think about it. And what he wants us to think about is the good. There are three parts to this. The first is prayer. If we will pray to God, the God of peace will guard our hearts and our minds. He'll give us that good thing. And when you think about it, what could be better than to have God guarding our minds with peace? And then we're told that proper thought is something that we truly need. We're to think of the good. Everything that's good, we're to think about. We're to dwell on that. As human beings, we typically don't. We typically dwell on those things that aren't going right. Your whole body can feel good, but you can have a splinter, and you dwell on that because it focuses your attention on that. That's what pain does. That's what it's designed for. But sometimes we get carried away in our life, and instead of thinking of the good, we're always thinking of bad things, about the potential for bad, about the things that don't suit us or the people who don't suit us or all sorts of things. I've been interested after this election to see how many people are out protesting. I wonder if their lives have really changed or if they just feel that miserable. I don't know. But I do know if they would focus on the good, they probably wouldn't be out there. And I realize there are times and there are things that we need to be concerned about, and I don't want to minimize concern. But I do want to say this. The solution to anxiety is to think about good things. So, we're told to pray, we're told to have proper thought, and then we're told to put it into practice. Paul said, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. It's not enough just to think about it, you got to do it. But if we are praying to God, if we are thinking about good, and if we're doing good, then we're going to have a great life. This concludes by saying, the God of peace will be with you. Who would you rather have with you? I'm not really sure which one it was. I heard one of our little kids hit their head on the pew. And I've got this trick. They hit their head on the pew and you count to three because that's how long it takes them to get their breath. And then they cry. And if they're crying, you know they're okay because everything's all right. But isn't it nice that that little one had somebody to take care of him, to be with him? Isn't it nice when God is with us? Can you think of anything better? And that's what God wants us to dwell upon, is the good. Ecclesiastes. We'll turn to Ephesians right after that. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verses 8 through 10. He begins by saying, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I like the way he starts this thought, because it makes us realize that we have an opportunity to be saved. If our salvation was based on our own merit or our own goodness, then we could obsess over that and think, well, I'm not good enough to become a Christian. I'm not good enough to be saved. And whenever somebody says that to me, I always tell them, keep that thought. You're not. You're saved by grace through faith. There are other things that go into that, but isn't it nice that God extends his grace to us so that we can have salvation? But then he gets to the heart of what we're to do. After he says it's not your works that save you, in verse 10 he says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's the reason we're here. AJ has been putting together a series he's been teaching in Lubbock that's on creation and on proofs of God. And one of the things that he was looking for was a passage that talked about our purpose for being here. A lot of times we wonder why God created us, and I'm not sure that we can really know the motive behind that creation other than to know that it begins and ends with love. I suspect he created us for the same reason that we as parents often want to have children. It fulfills something that's very basic within us. And even with God, he created us. Aren't we glad he did? We're not told exactly why, but we are told about our purpose. What is the purpose? We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And so even though those good works do not save us, we still have to have God's grace, and it's enacted through faith. That faith is active. And it'll cause us not to just do works. That was what the Pharisees were doing, wasn't it? And they were condemned. It'll cause us to do good works. We weren't created to do works. We were created to do good works. And there's a big difference in that. Isn't it nice that as Christians we're commanded to do things that are nice? Things that will help other people. Now, they may not always think of it as being nice at the time. When our kids were little and we made them clean up their rooms, they may not have thought we were being particularly nice. When our teachers were teaching us in school and we had study to do, we may not have considered that particularly nice. Some of the jobs our bosses gave us, we might not consider particularly nice. But when you think about it, God created good works for us to do. We do good things to other people. And most of the time, they will recognize that as something particularly nice. And God prepared these specific works in advance for us to do. So let me ask you, are you using your life for good works? Because that's the purpose of your creation. That's the purpose of your being here. And if you are just here to be served by others or for others to please you or to determine whether or not you will do something based upon what you get out of it, then you're missing the point. We were created to do good works, to help other people. As a matter of fact, that's one of the very reasons that we gather together. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds." And he says, "Let us not give up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing." Well, let me ask you this. Before you came today, did you consider how you can spur others on to love and good deeds? Love and good deeds. A lot of people, when they come to worship, And I'm just as guilty, have been in the past, as anybody, of going home from the worship or from Bible class or from whatever function it was that I fancied myself doing something for God. And my conclusion was, oh, I got nothing out of that. And you know why I didn't get anything out of it? It's because I didn't put anything in it. It's kind of like making a pot of coffee without putting coffee in. If after you get through brewing it, you pour it out and all you got is hot water, you forgot to put the coffee in. If you come home from worship, or if you get through with doing some function for God, whether it's reading the Word or praying to Him or whatever it is that we do, or helping somebody else, and you reflect upon that and you think, I got nothing out of that, isn't it true? It's because we put nothing into it. It's true in every aspect of life. And that's why God wants us to consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We're trying to figure out how we can encourage others to do good, and that is at the heart of the good works that we do. So one of the things I love about this congregation, I know we have failings. I know there's a lot of things that we could do better. You can get a better preacher for one thing. But the point is, if we are thinking about how to do good things and to spur one another on to good things, then we really are fulfilling our purpose, the purpose of our creation. And I want to say that if we're not careful, we can lose sight of the very reason that we're here. Not just here on Sunday morning, but here on this earth. We were created in Christ Jesus for love and good deeds, or to do good works that He had prepared in advance for us to do. I mentioned Ecclesians earlier. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 12. I like Ecclesiastes because Solomon's a very honest person. And as he writes Ecclesiastes, there are going to be things you'll come across and you'll think, why did he say that? It doesn't sound right. And the reason they don't sound right is because he wasn't thinking right. He is reflecting on the things he has done in his life. And every time he has a reflection that isn't good, it's because he is pointing out his focus was wrong. But when he gets his focus right, he comes back and he will state some truth. And here is one of the truths that we find in Ecclesiastes that's so important. I know that there is nothing better, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for men to be happy and do good while they live. I don't know about you, but I really like that. There's nothing better than to be happy and do good. It doesn't say there's nothing better than to be happy and have a period there, and then nothing better than to do good and have the two exclusive. They're not. They go together. Happiness and doing good go together. There will be times in our life where we are not happy because of something that's going on in our lives, something that maybe we're very concerned about. But if we find ourselves going through long stretches of unhappiness, it very well may be because we're not doing good. Because happiness goes hand in hand with doing good. It's a byproduct of doing good. If you find yourself unhappy, get up off of the couch and start doing good, whether it's a figurative or a literal couch. Solomon said through inspiration, there's nothing better than for men to be happy and to do good. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, Timothy says, command those who are rich in this pleasant world, and by the way, that's us, not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You ever get to feeling guilty about having things so nice? You shouldn't. Now, if you're taking all of God's blessings and you're using them all selfishly for yourself, then you should have some guilt. But this tells us right here that God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. There needs to be joy in our life. There needs to be happiness in our life. But I want to point out again how closely connected they are to being good. He's talking to those who are rich, and he tells them, don't set your heart on that. Don't be arrogant or put your hope in that. In verse 18, he says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. That's what we really need to be focused on. If you want to be rich, don't be looking at your bank account. Be considering what you can do for other people. And I know because of the humility of so many people that you don't always consider that. I'd like you to consider it. You shouldn't be arrogant in what you're doing, but neither should you be overlooking the good that you do or the encouragement that you provide or the enjoyment that God has for you. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. This is what we need to do with our physical blessings. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Have you ever thought about that? Most people do not live the life or take hold of the life that's truly life. Most people really do live a subpar existence. They don't turn to God's word for their direction as often as they should. They're not grateful to God in prayer as often as they should be. They don't really savor the moments as much as they ought to savor it. I always like our camping trips when we take the teens up there. It's not my favorite thing in the world to be in charge of a dozen or so teenagers, especially when I know if any one of them does something wrong, a guy in a uniform is going to come and talk to me. But I've gotten over thinking about that so much because of how much I enjoy the teen trips and how much I enjoy the moments that we have, the moments around the campfire, the moments of just sitting still and looking out over some beautiful view, or joking with the ones that have come with us. I cannot tell you how much I have enjoyed the different ones. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed Christy blocking off Adam in traffic one time, and it turned out not to be Adam. That was one of the highlights of our trip. Maybe not for the man she was blocking off, or for his wife who gave Christy a dirty look, but you get the idea. There are moments. You get to enjoy them. It can be something silly like that. It can be something really and truly rare, like the birth of one of your children, or somebody becoming a Christian. Have you ever thought about how magnificent it is that we get to be Christians, and God's purpose for us in that Christianity is to do good? God truly loves us. And because of that, He has provided, as a byproduct of doing good, happiness and enjoyment. There's not a lot of better things in life than to think about than to be happy and truly content. Unless it's the understanding that this isn't even the main thing that we're created for. We're created to be in heaven forever. Let me ask you this as we close. Have you made provisions for that? Are you a Christian? And if you are a Christian, have you been walking faithfully? If the answer to either of those is no, then the question is, what will you do about it? But if the answer is yes, or I could do better, but I'm determined to do so, then the encouragement for you is to continue to do good and to enjoy it, because God wants us to enjoy this life in His service, doing the things that are properly good. Are you doing that? The invitation's open. If anyone needs to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?